Let the church say amen once again. First of all, I want to give all glory and honor to God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in him who doeth all things well, and that we live, move, and have our very beings. Repeat after me the 122nd division of Psalm and verse number 1, where King David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. I can't think of a better place to be than in the house of the Lord, where the saints of the Lord can come into the presence of the Lord and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. God is good. God is not good some of the time, but God is good all the time. And all the time, God is surely good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15 was read into your hearing this evening. And while you're turning, I just want to thank you all for coming back out to praise God this Sunday evening. You know, it's nothing like praising God and worshiping God. You know, a lot of times we take the things that we have for granted. And it's always advantageous for us to always praise God and worship God for all the things that he has done for us. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. If you have it, the Apostle Peter wrote, for this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, or some versions say, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tent or tabernacle, to stir you up by reminding you that, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent or tabernacle, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Verse 15. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. I want to preach to you from the subject this evening briefly, as long as I am in this tabernacle. As long as I am in this tabernacle. 3 points, how to keep a clean tabernacle, the things that can destroy your tabernacle, and lastly, rewards of keeping a clean tabernacle. 2 Peter was written with the pen of inspiration by the Apostle Peter around AD 67. Rome is the most probable place for which this letter was written. The reason for this letter was because harm was being done to the church there by false teachers. And it was to warn the readers against false teachers. Peter also exhorts the readers to grow in Christ. Now, how to keep a clean tabernacle. The tabernacle here is referring to the physical body. There are many passages of scripture that refer to this physical body as the tabernacle or tent. Then Peter, go on to say that while I'm in this tabernacle, verse 13, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by reminding you. Stir you up here means, church, to arouse, like to arouse from sleep. But Peter is using this stir arouse to indicate a spiritual arousing. Peter is saying, as long as I'm in this physical body, as long as I am an apostle of Jesus Christ, it is my duty, it is my obligation, it is my service, it is my task to stir you up. You know, even in the days of the apostles, there were many issues going on like today. There were apostasy was going on back then. You had people in the church that were preaching false teaching. I mean, there was a lot of issues, marital problems. There was a lot of stuff going on in the church back then. And so Peter was saying, I need to stir you up. I need to give you a spiritual arousing. It's time for a revival. It's time for a resuscitation. It's time for a rejuvenation. It is time for revival. And that's what we must do in the Lord's church. Every now and then, we need to be revived. We need to be resuscitated. And we need to be rejuvenated. Because the Satan is busy. Satan is trying to steal, kill, and destroy our joy. And every now and then, we need a revival. Then verse 15, Peter said, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Now, these things, these two words are mentioned three times from verses 10 through 15. So, what are these things? Let us go back up to verse number 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1. If you want to keep a clean tabernacle for God, you must possess these things that Peter is addressing here. He said, but also for this reason, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue. In other words, if you want to keep a clean tabernacle, first of all, you got to have faith. You got to have insurance. You have to have trust. You have to have confidence in Jesus Christ. You got to have faith. And then after you have faith, you got to have some virtue. You got to have some moral excellence. The Christian whose faith is infused with moral excellence or virtue will reflect in his disposition and his life something of distinctive character of his Lord. In other words, you are reflecting the Christ likeness in your body, in you. So when people go around and see, when you on your job, when you in the in your neighborhoods, when you in your home, when you in the store, people can see this Christ likeness in you. Amen. Then he said, not only add to your faith virtue, but he said, add to your faith knowledge. Peter is telling his readers to get the full apprehension, understanding of the will of Christ. John chapter 15 and verse 15, the Bible says, no longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known unto you. Paul said in Ephesians 5 and verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What is the will of the Lord for me? What is the will of the Lord for you? Paul said it best in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Jesus wants each and every individual to know him. Amen. Not to just know about him, but he wants to have every individual to have a personal relationship with him. It's an intimacy. Amen. He wants us to have an intimate relationship with him. That is the will of Christ. That we leave the sin of the world and have a relationship with him. Right. Have a friendship, have a partnership, have a union with him. Because once we do that, then we can start displaying a life of Christ's likeness. so that one day we may be glorified together with him. Then he said, now only add to your faith virtue and knowledge, but add to your faith temperance. In other words, self-control. This refers to the mastery of the appetites. Every athlete, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 25 through 27. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Well, I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I pommel or I beat my body and subdue it. Paul said, I conquer my body, lest after preaching to others, I myself be disqualified. You see, church, the Christian, with God's help and by true knowledge of God's word, is to keep his desires under control. Now, we must be like the athlete as he prepares to run his race. He prepares himself. He beats his body. In other words, you don't take your fist, start beating your body, but what you do is you bring your body under subjection. And that's how we master our appetites, by bringing our bodies under subjection. We got to master the appetite of fornication. We got to master the appetite of stealing. We got to master the appetite of lying. All those things that of carnal minded things, we got to master, we got to subject them. We got to put them under our feet. We got to beat our bodies. Amen. Paul said, I must do this daily because I'm preaching God's word. I'm teaching God's word. And it's so easy for me to fall. We got to do this daily, church. We can't graduate from God's word. We can't stop studying God's word. We can't retire from God's word. This is something that we must do on a daily until the day you die. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been in the Lord's church. This is something that you have to do on a daily. You got to beat your bodies. This is a race we're running in. This is a spiritual race that we're running in. That's right. And we got to prepare our bodies daily. Then Peter says, now only add to your faith, virtue, or knowledge, or temperance, but add to your faith patience, endurance. Romans 5, 3 through 4, Paul wrote, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. You see, self-control or temperance enable one to deal successfully with his inner desires, while patience or endurance enable him to be victorious in spite of trials from without. And so this is what we is. Patience help us to be victorious in spite of what's going on around us. We rejoice in our sufferings. We endure as athletes, because Paul told us that if you live godly, you're going to suffer persecution. Jesus said that the servant's no greater than his master. We're going to go through some things. We're going to go through some suffering. But patience, my friends, is the key. Why are we going through? Because we know that God is preparing us. God is growing us. God is strengthening us while we're going through these trials and times. He said, not only add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. patience, but he said godliness. This means reverence and pity toward God. The godly person will live every segment of his life in full awareness of God. In other words, I'm going to live every day. I'm going to live every minute. I'm going to live every second displaying a life of godliness. Because my ultimate goal is to live like Christ. Now, I may fall from time to time because we're not Christ, but we are striving to be like Christ. And we must live every minute, every second of our day godly. Giving reverence to God. Then we must add to our faith brotherly kindness. The Greek word here is philios, meaning brotherly love. This denotes the love which brothers of a family have for one another. Paul wrote in Romans 12 and verse 10, love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor to one another. Hebrews 13 and 1, let brotherly love continue. Amen. So you see, Jesus talks about philios, brotherly love. In fact, one cannot love God if he hates his brother. That's right. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot. It's impossible to love God whom you have not seen. We got to love one another with brotherly love, church. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we can't love one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, how in the world do you think you're going to make it to heaven? If we got full of hatred and malice and rage and envy, we can't even talk to each other when we come into the church house. We gotta go around the building. Do you think you can get to heaven with that type of attitude? Satan is fooling, is deceiving us. We're allowing Satan to deceive us to if we think that we can do that. But we must outdo each other, showing each other honor. We must outdo one another. In other words, we must go the second and third and fourth and fifth mile and showing our brothers and sisters how much we love them and care for them. Amen. Then he says, add to your faith charity. This is agape love. This love is the highest type of love. This is the kind of love that God has for us. The sinner, an unworthy man. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what you call unconditional agape love. I love you in spite of you. Amen. That's the love we need to show for one another. Brother, I love you in spite of you. You got brothers and sisters that is unlovable. No matter what you do, they just don't want it. They, no matter what you do. Amen. But you keep on loving them. Right. You love them in spite of them. Mm-hmm. Because that's what Jesus do for us all the time. Mm-hmm. He love us in spite of us. And if Jesus give up on us, that'll be it. So we shouldn't want to give up on our brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got to continue to show love toward them. Now, those things keep a clean tabernacle. Let's look at some things that would destroy a tabernacle. Let us look at verse number 9 of 1 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, excuse me. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word blind, you see in verse number 9, it says, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness. How do one become blind? How do one cannot see? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul wrote, and if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded, that's our word, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ Jesus, who is the likeness of God. That's who blinds you. It's the veil of this world, the God of this world. Amen. Satan has blinded individuals from seeing the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. He blinds us through these counterfeit gospels. He blinds us. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Starting at verse number 5, Paul wrote, therefore put to death or mortify your members on the earth. He blind us through fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness. He blind us through idolatry. He blind us through disobedience. He blind us through anger. He blind us through wrath, malice, blasphemy. He blind us through filthy language. He blind us by lies. Satan uses all those earthly things to blind us from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we have become blinded, and I'm not even talking about unbelievers, I'm talking about Christians. He blinds Christians as well with these things. Put the veil over our eyes. And when you have become blinded, then you have become sterile. You have become barren. And when you have become barren and sterile, then that makes you unfruitful. That makes you unable to produce. A mother which cannot give birth is looked upon as a disgrace. Back in the Old Testament times, it made you be looked upon as disgrace, useless, worthless, hopeless, helpless. Jesus is saying, if you let Satan blind you with the things of this world, then you are hopeless to me. You are helpless to me. You are worthless to me. I cannot use you. For one, you are barren, you're sterile. You cannot produce fruit. He said, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, how can it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing. That's what Jesus is saying right here. You're good for nothing. You lost your influence. You lost your credibility. People don't look at you in a way of a leader or a follower of Christ. You can't go out and bring in souls because your life is not right. And so that's why Peter is saying, do not engage or do not get involved with the things of this world, because God cannot use you. We are ambassadors of Christ. If the world going to hear the message, they hear it through his people. We are his children. God counts on us. God counts on me. God counts on you to take his message to the world and let the world know who he is. God counts on me. God counts on you so he can show his power through us to the world. And if he can't show his power through you, that means you're sterile because you have let the God of this world ruin you. But that's the reason why we need to continue to study and continue to look at the Word of God so that when these times come, we can have the Word of God to help us stay straight and narrow and to walk circumspectly. Because even in these days, Peter said, I got to revive you all. Don't let these false teachers, don't let these people deter you. And most of all, don't let Satan deter you from off the road of righteousness. And then now, here is the rewards of keeping a clean tabernacle. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 1, Paul wrote, for we know that if this earthly tent or this earthly tabernacle we live in and destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's right, my friends. When you keep a clean tabernacle, the reward is that this terrestrial body is going to take on a terrestrial body, celestial body. This tent is sown in corruption, but it'll be raised in incorruption. This tent is sown in dishonor, but it shall raise in glory. This tent is sown in weakness, but it shall raise in power. This is sown a natural body, but this tent or this tabernacle is raised a spiritual body. That's the rewards of keeping a clean tabernacle. John said in John chapter 14 and verse number 1, let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you. But now I go to prepare a place for you, that where I go, I may come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, that ye may be also. That is reward of keeping a clean tabernacle. You got a mission waiting on you in heaven. And then Paul tell you again in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. He said, henceforth, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me. The righteous judge shall give unto me that day, but not to me only, but to all them also who love his appearing. Not only do we have a mansion, but we have a crown of righteousness, which the Lord has for us. Then not only that, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 11, and white robes were given unto every one of them. We got white robes, church. That's the rewards of keeping a clean tabernacle, that we got a mansion, we got a robe, and we got a crown waiting for us in heaven. But we must do these things. We must possess these things in order to get the rewards of a clean tabernacle. And get the rewards, of going to heaven. That's right, my friends. As long as I'm in this tabernacle, we must continue to strive for excellence. We must continue to strive to be Christ-like, because our ultimate reward is heaven. Is there anybody here this evening who may be